In 2010, Bethany Kraft and Casey Calloway were colleagues in Mobile, Alabama, working for different environmental nonprofits. When the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico on April 20th, they didn't know what to expect or what the impact would be. In this StoryCorps piece, Bethany and Casey reflect on how that horrific disaster changed the Gulf Coast and their lives.
So my first question for you, Bethany, and what we're going to talk about a little bit today is to step back in our lives in time to the BP oil disaster. When do you remember this being our problem that we were going to have to deal with?
We'd gotten word that there was a rig had exploded in the Gulf of Mexico, the Deepwater Horizon, that 11 men had lost their lives, but that it wasn't really going to impact the coast. It wasn't going to impact Louisiana, wasn't going to impact Alabama. But about a week later, I remember when I saw on my phone a news flash that the oil spill was actually much bigger than anybody had first thought. I think a few minutes after I saw that, I got a text from you saying, "Did you see what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico?"
That's one of the scariest things I think that you or I ever faced.
I think we were always looking for ways to work together. We didn't expect that our closest collaboration would be on the biggest oil disaster in U.S. history.
What did we have, 7,000 phone calls in 4 days? Yeah. Once we figured out we had a problem? It was a ridiculously large number. And those people all were like, what can I do?
Even while I was really distressed and sad and uncertain and just kind of in disbelief about what was happening, I was so heartened that we had the opportunity to figure out how to put people to work.
We gridded the coastline, and Bethany had everybody with a grid and a map. We had everybody in canoes and kayaks walking and videoing all of the land on both sides of the bay and at the beach.
We had about 300 volunteers at one time, and they were each walking a mile of shoreline every day. And what they were doing was looking for oil. They were looking for oiled wildlife, and they were really became the eyes and ears for Alabama. In 2015, when the actual damage assessment came out, when they published, it was thousands of pages of documents actually quantifying what was injured in the spill, how many dolphins they thought, how many sea turtles, how many fish, how many miles of beach. That was probably the worst day it became real to me, that it wasn't just a bad summer that kind of seems like a nightmare that's in distant memory, that this is an ongoing thing.
You've got this whole world who can say to you, "I'm so glad that's over for you." Typically, I smile, I take a little deep breath, and I put on my best smile and say, "Well, honey, it's not over. Our oil disaster isn't over. There's oil washing ashore every day. And Alabama's one of the only places that still has a guy who walks the beach and calls on it." So much changed. There were suicides. There were devastating losses for people in a community.
Yeah.
I can't just forget. And BP lost their lawsuits because they were absolutely negligent. I always love that corporations are people, but I want to know who's going to jail from BP. And when we are supposedly protecting the environment and we are investing in environmental protection, and we let a company of this scope and size cut corners and kill people, for real kill people, as well as 200 million gallons of oil spill on our shores, what is it going to look like? And what's our next step going to be in making sure that we don't step back on environmental protection laws?
If you don't care about the environment, you should if you breathe air and you drink water.
Right.
But if you don't, okay. The environment is going to be okay on its own with or without humans. But what it's going to do is it's going to change over time. And the things that we rely on it for, those things might go away. I think people sometimes think that growing the economy and protecting the environment are mutually exclusive endeavors. And one thing that the oil spill taught me, especially in Alabama, is that those two things are intrinsically linked. You can't go fish, so you stay home. You don't have to send your kids to daycare. The daycare center doesn't get any revenue. They close down. I mean, there's these ripple effects that you don't really think about, but we are really all in the same boat, and we rise or fall together.
These interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, storycorps.org, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Alabama Public Radio and are sponsored by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.